I'm Julie Wise. This is the Bracero Oral History Project. And I'm here interviewing Mr. Collins, Mr. James Collins. I'm here interviewing Mr. James Collins. Today is September 22nd, and we are in Marked Tree, Arkansas. So, Mr. Collins, where and when were you born?
1924.
Where?
Alabama.
Where in Alabama?
Lauderdale County. What a small place in the road they call Florence, Waterloo, Alabama. Florence was the capital of that. And we left there in 31.
And where did you come in 31?
Tyronza.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we started, you don't want to tell you why we had to leave there? TVA bought all that ground up and put them water power lines in there, flooded the whole area. We were farming people. And everybody had to sell their land that had land. We didn't have any land. We had to go to get a job, do something to eat. Back end things was hard.
Mm-hmm.
We just couldn't hardly make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to Arkansas. And my daddy, I was small. I was born in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, pulling bowls of cotton on the farm for so much, 100 pounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we started from that, and we worked on the farm. We made what's called a share crop. You get 20 acres of cotton or something like that, how big your family was, and then you'd get furnish on it so much a month. Every month they give you so many dollars to live on. Then in the fall, when you get the crop, you had to pay this back. They'd have a charge to you. You pay it back. Sometimes you pay it back, and sometimes you didn't have enough to even pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's according to how much sickness you had in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the whole story. This was a delta through here. A lot of people. Houses you throw rock from one to another. Just people. And on Saturday night and rainy days, people would come to Marked Tree. Then we started coming to Marked Tree. And there would be so many people you couldn't walk down the streets. You had to get out behind the cars if you was in a hurry walking.
Wow.
A lot of people, I'm telling you. And then they started bringing them cotton pickers in here and picking this cotton. And people had to went to bigger town, bigger city, better job, better paying job.
Mm-hmm.
War started, you know, and a lot of them went to fence plants and stuff like that. But anyway, people started thinning out. Now, you don't see any houses on the farm like we used to have. And that's when we started hauling the Mexicans in here.
When was that?
It was about 55, 56. Long enough, it could have been 57. I believe it was between 55 and 57.
Mm-hmm.
We started hauling Mexican labor in here because the people were moving out, and the cotton pickers wouldn't really come out too good then. They wouldn't pick the cotton good enough, really. But then it got better, you know, and the pickers got better, and they get it all across now with big machinery.
Mm-hmm. So your family came here and started sharecropping here in what year?
31.
1931. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And who were the other people? On whose farm were you sharecropping?
Oh, it was a bunch of them. Oh, mm-hmm. It could have been 10 or 15 families on that one farm.
Okay.
Bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of big families then. Everybody had big families.
Mm-hmm.
No two kids, three kids. It was nine of us, the family. And everybody had big families.
And back then, were there any people coming in from the outside to pick cotton?
No, not that I remember. I used to go to up in the hills where they didn't have cotton. After I started working for Ritter and Company. Mm-hmm. And I'd take a truck and I'd go up there and get families mm-hmm. to come down here to pick cotton for the renters. And this family would come down here and they would have a farm in the hills. And they'd have cattle, mules, and small farmers. They could come down here and make enough money through the fall hand-picking cotton. They could live good and not spend their money they was making up there till next fall. See what I'm telling you? Mm-hmm. And I've went up there two times and brought a bob truck load of them and a whole family and kin folks and all of them. And they'd have a house for them to live in, and furnished and everything. And it's sort of a vacation for them to get out there, a bunch of them picking cotton. You don't know anything about hand picking cotton.
I don't know anything.
Chopping cotton mm-hmm. or anything. See, everybody had to do that. Mm-hmm. Everybody worked in.
Right.
If you're big enough to walk, you pick cotton. Mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. Sure did. We had to. We had to do that.
And what year was it that you started going to the hills for labor?
That was, I guess that was probably in the 70s, or late 60s, 70s.
Oh, so after the Mexicans.
Oh, well, the Mexicans, some of them was coming in, but some of these guys renting ground from E. Ritter and Company. Small renters wanted them people up there to pick cotton for them. They pick cotton several years for them, you know, and they mm-hmm. liked the family. They liked to just get with the family and help them get their crop.
Mm-hmm. And so, when you think about before, so when did you start working for Mr. Ritter?
Well, I started on the farm, and I can't remember. It was in the late 40s. Could have been 51. Mm-hmm. I made a sharecrop, and then I started work for the seed company. They didn't have a seed company then. We had a truck over a place for us to meet over across town, and we drove the trucks and hauled fertilized stuff out on the farms. I done that. Mm-hmm. I started driving a trailer truck, mm-hmm. me and two more men. Then they kept getting bigger, and then they built a seed company. And I worked for 43 years for them.
Wow.
I helped build all of that, a boy, and then I growed on up and left there as an old man. But I made a living, you know.
Uh-huh, sure.
I fed my family, and we didn't have a lot of money to throw away, but a lot of people run off, went up north, and made a lot of money, but they spent it and come back in worse shape than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to do hard work. We shoveled grain, if it's necessary, and then I was a foreman for about 25 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. The foreman died, and I had to take his place. That's the way that it worked up, just a have-to case order, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I was the next man up. And I drove a truck for a long time. Get back to the hauling of Mexicans.
Yeah, tell me about that.
All right, I'd go down to the border. We'd carry three or four trucks. The truck that I drove was a trailer truck, like you haul grain in now. And I had benches in there, down this wall, this side, bench on that side. The middle of the truck had two benches, close together, real close together. I could set my back and your back. Back. Mm-hmm. Four rows of people in that truck. And I would haul 73 Mexicans was all I could haul.
In one truck.
That was a bob, not a trailer truck. That's a big truck.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'd bring 400 or 500 through at a time. And I don't know. It seemed like us and J.C. Porter's was a big farmer, John and Ritter and Company. They would have three or four hunters come through with us all over. We just lined up at Brownsville, Texas.
Brownsville?
Right on the border. Mm-hmm. Right on the border. They'd have these Mexicans, and you might call it a jail, a big, huge tin building. And they eat and slept and everything in there. I don't know how they got them over there. They were caught, some of them maybe coming across the border and held them. Then they might send some buses over there to get some, because there's a lot of people. We had a Mexican counselor there, had done all of our book work.
In Brownsville?
Brownsville.
Okay.
And we didn't have to do anything, only be there at a certain time. And he put my man on, me and on there, 73 is all I could get on there. And I mean, that jammed up. And I'd head out with them, put the tarp on, or they'd want it off. Tarpaulin like you're putting on grain, if you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I would go down the road, maybe till I got ready to gas up, and I'd stop, pull in, they'd have a tarp on.
Huh! Why do you think they wanted the tarp off?
It was hot on there, and they just wanted to see the country or something. It'd go to rain. I got so tired, you know, worried about it. And then I start off, they put the tarp back on. How they did it, there were so many of them undoubtedly. Way I had a strip run down the side with ropes. They would hold somebody over, and he'd untie the rope, and somebody would, they were so thick they could hold that tarp. And they folded that tarp, they had to fold that tarp up. And when they wanted it over, they'd do the same thing.
While the truck was moving.
I didn't worry about it then. I just let them do what they wanted to do. And we'd pull into a service station. Of course, they'd go in, and some of them didn't use the bathroom. They just didn't know better.
Hmm.
And they'd drink, get them some water, get them a Coke, and have that Coke to drink on the way. Well, many times, I carried a trailer truck load of stuff down there for them to eat. First load. This is first load coming from down there.
First load, okay.
Yeah.
And about what date would this be? When in the year would this be?
Ma'am?
When in the year would this be? About what, August or September?
It would be in August or something like that.
Okay.
But we didn't, sometime we'd go get them to chop cotton, would be in June or long in there like that.
So you did both the choppers and the pickers?
We'd done the choppers and have to carry them back and then go back and get them to pick cotton. They wouldn't let them stay a short time in between there, but they wouldn't let them stay. All right, we'd carry this food down here. A truck from Memphis brought food in, potted meat, Viennese sausage, anything to eat canned, it had to be canned, and crackers, no bread. Had that crackers, they could eat crackers with anything. All that kind of, you name it, pork and beans, stuff like that. A trailer truck's load come in, and I took it off and put it on my trailer. We got Brownsville ahead of time. We had to sack that up. Put every man so much food in a paper sack and steeple it. Every man got it. Then when the Mexican council loaded them up, he gave everybody a sack, explained to them that was food to eat on the way. And they, of course, he could talk to them, you know. I didn't know what he was saying. but anyway, that went ahead. We'd bring them on. All right, they stopped that. They said, no more fixing food for them. Carry them to cafes. Mm-hmm. Then trouble started. This happened, I believe we hauled them three years.
In the mid-50s, you're saying?
It's moved on up in the late 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
On up in the 60s. All right, they made us quit hauling them. And they started to bust them in here. Because I can see why that just wasn't right to haul people like that. I felt sorry for them. Buses would bring them in here. But many times when we was going, after this first time, we had to feed them people. Well, you see, and you get into a town with that five or six trucks, you had trouble. We'd get to a first big cafe we could find and tell them, stay on the truck. And you go in and talk to the man that run the place. Say, how many people can you feed? He said, I'll feed one truck load. So, well, you call on down further. You know places and tell us where to carry another load. And they just jump it like that until we get them fed. We'd feed them regular meals. And they didn't eat no bologna. When they went in there and sat down, they ate good. They had money. We had to give them money.
Do you remember how much money?
We give them plenty of money for so many meals. Mm-hmm. It took us about 20. We leave, like if I was going to leave here right now, I would drive all evening, all night, and the next day till about 2 or 3 o'clock, I'd get where I was going, 1,100 miles. Trucks didn't run too fast. You had to stop and gas up, had to let them rest a little bit, and stuff like that. But then we had to start feeding them, and then they started to bust them. Well, that took a bunch off of us, because I had to have a job, and it's easy to do that or nothing at all. But you'd pick up somebody that never drove a trailer truck before, and then you scared to ride with him, really. You had to do all the driving about it.
Yeah.
That's just about the way. Just stuff like that's the way it went on.
So who was driving the buses?
Somebody from down there. Mm. Maybe somebody out of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Maybe Brownville.
Mm-hmm.
Nice buses. They'd bring a big bus load in. I'm sure they was feeding themselves while we were doing.
So then you would pay the bus driver or the bus company?
No, we wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Huh.
That would be the Mexican counselor, the farm bosses, or E. Ritter Company
would pay.
Office. Mm-hmm. They'd done the office work. They would deal with them. We didn't have to. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a bunch of bookwork to do.
So had you ever been to Mexico before?
No, never.
Never.
We crossed the border and went over across the border, and me and another man, we had some spare time, and we went hired a taxi to carry us out in the country.
Oh.
And the people were living under skeet bushes. Well, looked like me like a sheep. It could have been a canvas. I had it real clean, and then these little kids running around, and a lady there, and here set their furniture, maybe looked like a wood stove to me, and a bed or something. That's where the people were living. And we seen a little Jenny, I call him, little mule, coming with a two-wheel wagon, had a barrel in the back. Now, the taxi driver was telling us all this. See, he knowed all of it. He was filling us in on everything. All right, this little wagon, two-wheel wagon, had a big old barrel in it. So, now, what's that? I said, well, that family is going to so-and-so down Brownwood somewhere to get some water for the family. So they've got to have water, and that's where they have to get the water. And the family, little kids, were sitting in the back of that wagon with their feet hanging off. I said, whoa, he slowed down real slow. We've got a good... He carries a good ways down there and showed us a lot of stuff. That's the first time we were there.
And what was your impression of Mexico? You know, you had not been there before?
Yeah, it was big. It was streets, and it was muddy. And we went in one grocery store, the biggest store I'd ever in my life, had everything in it. And they had clothes right here, stuff right here. And out here in the middle, they had beef. Cows hung up by their legs, skint down. And it was flies in there, green flies. And that meat, I got close to it. It was, they put something on that meat to make it, the flies couldn't get on it, by other words. Mm-hmm. Because we, all of us older boys looked at that, we said, it's They got to fix it like it. Anything that you could mention was in that store. Huge store. I never been in nothing like that before. And just stuff like that, you know. And we didn't have much time. We'd get in late in the evening. We'd have to try to get some sleep to get them master loaded up the next day. And when we got loaded, we had to head out. Head out.
So then when you were in Brownsville, would you get to choose which Mexicans would come to you?
No.
Who was choosing?
The Mexican council was handling
that.
He
was choosing.
Some of them might have been some guys that slipped over the border.
Mm-hmm.
They was holding them. That was just like a jail, but they'd feed them. In fact, Vince, we ate breakfast with them last. One morning we got in at 4 o'clock, and they were scrambling eggs in a big pot and cooking bacon and toast and real clean, and the men was clean and everything. They said, y'all eat with us. So we got us a plate down in there. We scrambled eggs and bacon with them. They're just welcome. Them boys learn us. See, people that I work with, I worked 3 or 4 different men doing some night work, and they really thought a lot of me. And they'd always stick with us. You know, you'd learn them, they'd learn you. But now, they didn't go to the bathroom the first time we brought them in here.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much. But after they learned just a little bit, and people started telling them, and other people started telling them, they started going to the bathroom.
So what were they doing instead of going to the bathroom?
Well, one of them I seen used the bathroom right on the street.
Interesting.
He didn't know any better.
Yeah.
They did over there.
Mm-hmm.
Why not here? Yeah, I mean, he didn't know. But they learned quick. People started telling them, go in the bathroom. We built them bags, double deals, and we'd carry them out there at them rooms, and so many to get a room. All right, we had dishes. We had so many dishes. We'd give them a plate, knife, fork, spoon, and a skillet, and a pot to boil beans or ever what have you, everything they needed. Each pan, when we got unloaded them, got that. And we had a stove in there for them to cook on, this bags. We had, in a house, the fifth house right here was empty, they'd fill it up with mixture. So many, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But them other houses, them big buildings they built, they double-decked them. Then I had a prison camp out here. Prisoners during the war. We filled that up. Well, it wasn't plumb full, and we went to Houston, Texas, and got a trailer load of colored people to pick cotton.
And when was that?
That was, I don't remember what year it was. A year or two later.
The Mexicans.
Well, the Mexicans was here.
Oh, same time?
Oh, there
okay.
We just didn't have, we had too much cotton, I couldn't pick it off.
Okay.
And that, we went to the unemployment office in Houston, Texas, which was a mean place, we found out later. Hmm. All right, we got a load of colored people, and they come in. We put these colored people and them Mexicans out there together. Boy, and they're fighting all the time.
Really? Tell me about that.
Oh, I don't know. It's a prison camp during the war had prisoners here, you know. German prisoners had a bunch of them out there. And we used that camp for the Mexicans in after they come in. Then a tornado tore that building up. And I lived out there pretty close. Right? You know where the Voltec school is at now out here, don't you? You
which
know
school?
Where it's at?
Which school?
Folk Tech School. I call it after college out here now.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, he's going toward Jonesboro.
Mm-hmm.
He's going out of town. It's a,
oh, yes.
Nursing home and then the school. Well, I live right across the school. This is 1/2 mile further on down the road with a prison camp. That's where the prisoners are all at. I never did mess with them prisoners, but I know they'd pick cotton, and they were German prisoners, nice-looking people, and people liked them. I mean, they're just nice people. They'd get out there and work, and do what you told them to do.
The Germans.
Germans would.
So then when you put the Mexicans in that same prison, and then you said you put black people there as well.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that it didn't go that well. Can you tell me more about that, or what happened?
They would drink beer.
Who would drink beer?
Both of them.
Okay.
The colored people and the Mexican too. And if you went out there to get a load up and bring the town to get groceries on a Saturday night or something, I did a time or two, not much. They want you to drink a beer all the time. Drink a beer. I said, no. They drank Falstaff beer. All of them.
Falstaff beer?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Huh.
I couldn't stand the smell of it. But I did drink a little beer back then, not too much. I'm just telling you a little bit of stuff happened.
I love hearing this stuff. It's interesting.
That was about the most of it. We didn't have any trouble. Only thing, we had a little trouble. One of the bosses, this guy was getting on the truck and was going to get on my truck. And he was drunk and he didn't want to get on. And they were worried with him and trying to get him on.
And this was in Texas or in town?
That was up here in town.
In town. Okay.
That's when we was fixing Karen back home.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this Mexican kept on. He wouldn't get on. And Mr. Dawson, that was one of the big bosses, he slapped him. Well, the Mexican thought I slapped him. But I didn't slap him. All the way down there, he thought I slapped him. He was going to get me. See, he would tell these good Mexicans that knows me, they was on the truck right behind me, following. They would watch for him. If we stopped, they would stay with me. And he would still be drunk all the time. He carried some whiskey with him. And I got down there, they told the Mexican counselor. The Mexican counselor called me and said, "That Mexican give you some trouble?" I said, and they told him the whole story. These three Mexicans, they carried him in a back room to lock him up or something. And we left there. They were still talking to him. I don't know what they'd done with him.
So this was in, you're saying that the Mexican worker went to Memphis to talk with his consul about having been slapped? Is that what happened?
No, he didn't. He didn't talk to him. When he got back to Texas,
down
on the border,
I see.
That's when they turned him in. That's when we turned him in.
I see.
And I was sitting on the truck fender, tired, had that door locked, never heard women sleep. I seen the shadow. The moon was shining. It was just roads like that. I could see some men slipping along the side. I jumped in the truck and locked the door and took off. They caught the truck. That was them. They were going to get me right there, see. Hmm. And that other truck had got behind. I got behind him. That's the way it was. And we didn't like too far bend to the border. And that's when we turned him over to them. That's the only trouble I ever had. Didn't really have any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't sober up enough you could tell him to. And I didn't slap him, see. The mother Mexican would tell him, he wouldn't believe him.
Who would tell him?
The Mexican would tell him, said, no.
He didn't do it, and he just wouldn't believe it.
He didn't slap you.
It was Mr. Dawson.
Another man. He said, no. I was just right in line with him, I guess. I don't know why.
Hmm.
That's the way it was. Hmm. That's the only time we ever had anything.
Huh.
We had the lightning strike one kill him.
Oh, wow.
All right. There's a bunch of them chopping cotton. And they got on the big tree. Lightning struck a tree and killed one. So we buried him out here in the graveyard. We got a colored man, the undertaker, to bury him, and we had to go dig a grave. Back then, you had to dig a grave with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And we dug a grave, and all right, we're going to have the funeral. We were going to help this colored man put him down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the 15, 20, 30 Mexicans come for the funeral. They said, no burying. Why? What's the matter? And they said he had a cross.
Mm.
He didn't have his cross on.
Mm.
They wanted him, his cross was at home, at camp. They wouldn't let us bury him till we got the cross, and we had to get him and put the cross on him. And then they had a funeral, just like we have funerals. I don't know what they were saying, but they took their hats off, and I mean, you know, they had a funeral, and everything was okay. I actually put that on him, and we went ahead and buried him. And
which cemetery was he buried in?
Marchtree Cemetery.
Marchtree Cemetery.
Yeah.
Was that a Catholic place or no?
I don't know.
It wasn't like a Catholic cemetery.
One of the men made a talk, sort of, but we didn't know what he was saying.
Okay. And
in Spanish, we didn't know what he was saying.
Sure.
But they just didn't throw dirt in on him. I mean, they acted like we do. If we have a funeral, we got a preacher. And it went along about the same way, to tell you the truth.
And
made me feel better after they did that, you know. Now that's wrong. I'm just telling you about to run out. It's a lot of stuff that happened, and I done forgot all about that.
You're remembering a lot. Can I ask you, were there both white people and colored people in the same cemetery?
They don't over here. No.
Over here, no. So no. Who was in that cemetery?
But they did that. We got, why they got a colored man to do this, I don't know why the man down here didn't do it.
I see.
I don't know why.
Interesting. So the undertaker was colored, but the cemetery was for white people.
White people only.
Interesting.
He just probably told them that he would do it. They were just going, but it didn't turn out hardly. But when they went to camp, put that cross on him, everything is all right.
And do you remember about when that would have been?
I don't remember when it was. It was on over, let's see, over in the 60s or later maybe. Somewhere along in there. See, we'd get them every year for a long time, and we cleared ground with them. We had a bunch of ground back in this river is just like that. You cross the river out here, or it's out here, and another river runs in out here. Big bend back in here. At the elevator that I worked back in this bend, we had a bunch of ground back in there never been cleared. And we would take Mexicans when it rained, they couldn't chop cotton. So many Mexicans. I'd work 100, and so many, another 100. I'd take my 100 and get back over here. And clear that ground out. Just go out there and work and go about their business. You know, do a day's work. We carry them into camp. We cleared all that plumb back to the rivers on rainy, that wet time they couldn't chop cotton. That was a bunch of chop cotton which done there.
And were there any requirements you had to fill with the Mexican government? For example, a bond? Or an insurance, or anything like that?
They might have done that through the office or something.
But
I'll tell you what I did do. I used to have to carry a load to Memphis. You know where Memphis is at. The Sterick Building, the biggest building in Memphis. Big office building, big, huge. Have to carry a load of them Mexicans over there and carry them right up on the top. Mexican counselor there. Now he was telling these Mexicans something, and it wasn't too long after that till they started busting them in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they were doing. It was none of my business. I just carried them, had to get them in the elevator, get them all up top 35, 40 times what I'd carry. And then sometimes I'd have to carry another load, and later carry another load or something. Anyway, just stuff like that. And I remember one time when they first started giving them money, went to Far City. As a Mexican counselor down there, we had to carry them through him. And they gave me one of these big old brown sacks like you used to buy get groceries in. They had a thing full of $20 bills. Each Mexican got so much money. And they put it on me. I sort of, the head knocker, put it on me to give that to the Mexican counselor when I got there. And of course, they're talking to him, you know. I got there and gave him money. Now, he gave every person so much money.
The consul was giving money to the workers.
That's when they started eating.
Huh.
That's when they started eating.
Huh.
But I remember that at Far City. They had this Mexican counselor. He might have come from Memphis and met us down there. See, I don't know. We just done the driving mostly. And they done the work. I don't know who was doing the work out of Ritter's office to that Mexican council. They was setting all this stuff up, see. I never did hear. Wayne said he didn't know who was doing. And he was one of the head men up there.
Hmm.
Wayne Nickel.
And did the consul ever come here to inspect the work conditions
or
anything?
Not far as I know.
Not as far as you know.
He might have.
Interesting. And who else was working on the farm at that time? Were there still sharecroppers or were there black people?
No.
Only Mexicans during that time? Jamaicans
well,
or?
Then it wasn't too long after they started to bust them in here. Them cotton pickers got picking good. And they started picking them and the Mexicans started cutting back. Now, we got a lot of Mexicans working around here now. Fact of the matter is, we got some Mexicans down here where I used to work, running equipment and everything. They've been here so long, I guess they got papers legally here. Excuse me. That's about all I believe I know.
Do you remember what they ate?
Ma'am?
What they ate?
What they ate.
Yeah.
They'd eat good food.
They ate good food.
They didn't eat no bologna. They ate steak, chicken. They ate good food. They'd fill up the plate. The people that we'd stop at their cafe were proud to see us. They'd just keep cooking and eat a good meal. At meal time now, they didn't just get a money handed out to them. They'd get so much money. But they ate good.
And even once they were here,
They ate good. You go after some of them early in the morning, and they'd be cooking them tortillas.
Mm.
They're going to have them for dinner. They cook them up a big bucket full. Excuse me. Bring them for their lunch and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about all I know. I don't think I know.
So did you interact with them once they were here?
Ma'am.
Once the Mexicans were here on the farm after the trip, were you still overseeing them or working with them?
No.
No, that was someone else's job.
When we bring them here, they had farm bosses.
Mm.
Maybe a few of the farm bosses, you had 2,000 acres, you get enough Mexicans. I'm going to have to get a drink of water.
Absolutely. Oh, I got it. Okay. So Mr. Nichols said that there's a funny story about a Mexican playing a piano.
Yeah.
Could you tell us that story?
I could. We was clearing all this, I tell you, about so many. We must have had 400 or 500 that day. One of them Mexicans was out there, that Kaiser blade, we call them. You know what a Kaiser blade is? Long, got that sharp. And they was working long, and one of them Mexicans lost his mind. He just went loco. And he got to hollering and slinging that blade, and there was a Mexicans running every which way, and I was running too. We was all trying to get out of his way. We didn't know, you know. And he come toward town where they got the laws, and they took him and put him in jail down here. I don't know how he got out of jail. He got out of jail, and they were looking for him. Okay? They found him down here at the Methodist church, right down here, big church, sitting in there playing the piano. That's where they found him at.
It's really funny.
And they had to carry him back to Mexico. I'm not going to tell you how they carried him, though.
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
What do you mean?
I just don't want to tell you.
Yeah, that's sure. That's
They carried him back.
Wow.
They didn't have any choice. They had to.
Yeah. Sounds like it. It sounds like it. And let me ask you, when you talked about that Mexican who died when he got hit by lightning, was there ever talk of whether it was appropriate for him to be buried in the cemetery
with the
white
people? I'm
sure they
made arrangements for the Mexican council. He probably didn't, he might not have had any family in Mexico, say. I don't know what happened about that, but it was legal for him to do it. It had to be legal from the burying here because some, one or two got killed some way. And they had to send them back. I don't know. Seemed like one got cut up or something in a fight or something. And they had to send them back.
To Mexico.
But they made this legal from to bury this Mexican here.
And did anybody suggest that he should be buried in the colored cemetery? Or no?
I don't know.
Interesting. But to you it seemed...
No, they just told us to go dig a grave in the colored man. He brought him out there. He's going, I think really what he was going to do was make some quick dollars.
See? Right.
And but he did make some quick dollars. All he had to do just wait till he went and got the cross and put on him, go ahead and put him in the ground.
And then let me ask you, so were there still black families here at the time when Mexicans were working?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, there's a lot of black people here working on the farm.
Sure.
Black, a lot of good people. I mean, you know, neighbors. You just people that you know. You just, I got a family living right here by me now, colored people. I don't mess with them. They don't mess with me. I don't know where she works. I think maybe some hospital, and she got a boyfriend or something over there anyway. I just stay on their side and I stay on mine.
And what about with the Mexicans? How did the black families interact with the Mexicans?
Well,
or did they?
They get along pretty good.
It was okay.
But sometimes they'd fight a lot though. There was a lot of people here. Our people was fighting too. Our people come off the farms and get drunk and they were. This town would fight all the time.
Wow.
It was.
Huh. And were there ever any businesses that didn't want the Mexicans to come there, like any bars or anything like that?
No, they wanted. When they come into town, they started buying blankets, sewing machines, everything they could get. They was proud to see them.
So there were no places that would say no Mexicans here or no Mexicans there?
No, they was good to Mexicans because they're buying a lot of stuff from a lot of grocers and food and they eat and cafes. And they'd go to cafes to eat and they'd buy. Everybody had bought them a big, their stores started stocking them big blankets and then a sewing machine. They bought every one they could get. The old timey type, like your paddle or something. They bought all of them at the kid.
Wow.
They'd send them back home. They sent a lot of money home. They sent a lot of money home. They kept enough money for them to spend. They'd send their money home.
Interesting. Very interesting.
That's about all I know. You still want to?
Yeah, sure. There's one more question you had. Did they go to church, the Mexicans?
I never did see them go to church.
Okay.
They didn't go to our church. And no church in Martre. I don't remember any. Now, here's some Mexicans here now. They've been here a long time. They go to the church. One of the Mexicans' family went to their church for a long time. Then they started going to some church in Jonesboro that his wife could understand better. His wife couldn't understand very well.
I see.
And everybody liked them in our church. They just wanted a family. You know, raised little kids, raised a whole stack of them. Sure did.
And then back in the 50s and 60s, I know you said they would go have a beer. You told us what kind of beer. Did they do other things for fun? Did they go to dance clubs or halls?
I don't know.
Were they dating at all? Were they dating girls from around here?
They probably were.
They probably was. Did you ever hear gossip about that?
Dark girls.
Dark girls, really? Interesting.
Yeah. It was rough. That end of town was rough.
I see.
It was rough.
And they were living on that end of town.
Well, they'd go to that end of town.
I see.
A bunch of them. And some of them wouldn't. Some of them, well, there's, it was about 20-something beer joints just in a little bit of town.
Mm-hmm.
And all be full.
All be full of Mexicans. Ever,
no, other people too, coming off the farm.
Right.
A lot of them boys come off the farm giving them Mexicans to get them to buy them beer, say, because they spend that money.
Yeah, interesting.
Right there.
So, but you think if they were dating, they were probably dating colored girls?
I don't know. Lord, no, this was white girls, too.
White girls, too, you think?
And white girls played them joints. A bunch of them did. Some of them even come from Memphis.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So you mean like prostitutes, or yeah, at all of these places, yeah, white and black?
White and black. That happened before the Mexicans ever come.
Sure. Right. The
dark people, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Of course. And that's about all. All
right. Did they ever stay here and get married and settle down, the Mexicans?
No, the Mexicans didn't. Not that we was hauling, they had to go back.
They had to go back, sure.
Some of them would be school teachers. Some of them, they're smart people.
Uh-huh.
They wasn't no bunch of dummies. They were smart people. Tell me, I worked some of them and had a good education. He could make more money here and send his money back, making good money.
Mm-hmm.
He made good money, he worked.
They
were smart people. They wasn't just a bunch of people like myself, just old common people. Now some of them was, they was all kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they were smart people, a bunch.
Sure.
And I could understand them a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Did you learn Spanish?
No.
No. A little bit.
I think.
Uh huh.
Let's go, Migo, and they'd get on the truck. I don't know.
And do you know where they came from in Mexico?
I don't know where they.
Yeah, you just.
Ain't no telling. They probably come by some of them places when I told you I was taxi riding and around.
Yeah.
See, I might have been some of their homes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It could have been.
Interesting. Anything else I didn't ask about that sticks out as your head as being unusual or interesting about your experiences with the Mexicans?
No, I didn't. We didn't have much dealing with them after we worked so many of them at the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
But these farm bosses, they took care of thousands. You know, this and have 100, that 150, and some small renter would have 35 or stuff like that. You know what it.
Who were the bosses? Yeah, was it like Texas Mexicans or people from here?
No, our local men here, farm bosses, worked for the company.
Right.
But they had some men, Mexican men in here could talk Spanish, you know, and talk American to them. And they learned them a lot of that stuff, you know. They learned a lot. I mean, it didn't take them all that long either.
Right.
Yeah, they were good. They never just start no trouble, no white people. I don't know. They'd fight amongst themselves. And what they'd fight, they'd kick each other like this. I remember.
That's so funny. Old
y'all one time, and they was kicking each other, and I had to get to my truck. I'd got off from work by 12. My truck was pretty close to them. And they was fighting and kicking each other, and I finally got to my truck. I went home. I was having to haul cottonseed late at night, and the gin had done shut down.
That's about all I know. Was this a surprise to you? I mean, did you?
The Mexicans was fighting amongst themselves. They'd done been drinking, see?
Yeah.
They're just fighting.
And did you know anything about them before they came? Did you have an idea of what they would be like, or had you heard about this new program to bring
in
Mexican workers?
About.
Nothing. Just kind of, this is your assignment. That makes sense.
Went to Mexico. We started hauling them in here.
Yeah.
I was one, me and another man, the first one to haul it in here.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere around.
Right. Right. All right, well, I know we've taken up a lot of your time, so I appreciate it.
Well.
Did you have anything else you wanted to ask? Okay. Great. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
I'd love to.